would you like to do debt-free real estate investing? Joel Friedland will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Joel is that he's the CEO of Brit Properties, syndicates debt-free industrial real estate in the Chicago area, and he has acquired over 100 industrial properties with his syndicated investor base of over 250 members. And Brit Properties primarily focuses on standalone, single-tenant, net-leased buildings that generate steady cash flow distributions. So, Joel, tell us more about this amazing strategy for debt-free real estate investing. How does it work, and how can a property investor based in the US take advantage of this amazing initiative?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Well, yeah, we're different than everybody else in the real estate investment business. There are 4,000 real estate syndicators. I know you've had other syndicators as guests on the program, and the way that I've had it explained to me from people who do invest with us, the simplest way is, oh, I see. We pool the money together, my money with everybody else's money, and buy something. And Joel, you're the general partner, and you run it, and you just send us our cash flow distributions every quarter. And so that syndication model is extremely widespread. The 4,000 syndicators, I would say that 3,999 of them borrow somewhere in the neighborhood of 70% on average of whatever the property is worth. So let me give you an example. If somebody were to buy a $4 million property, they would borrow maybe 70, 75%, which is $3 million, and they would have $1 million in cash. Here's the problem. You owe the bank the other $3 million. And if anything goes wrong, the bank has no sense of humor and they want to get paid. So you have to pay the monthly mortgage payments. And you also, when the mortgage comes due, you have to pay it off. And in today's world, with interest rates that have gone up a lot, syndicators have gotten into a lot of trouble who have debt because they had what's called floating rate debt, which is where they would borrow, let's say, at 2.5% or 3%. And when the Federal Reserve increased the federal rate, interest rates went up, and they were paying, instead of 3 or 4%, they were paying 6 or 7 or even 8%. And so they were in trouble. A lot of the syndicators just took too much risk. My theory is, with no bank, you never have the risk of the bank foreclosing or filing a lawsuit to get paid because there's no bank. But it's really difficult to be an all cash debt free owner because it means that we have to come up with a lot more money.
Thank you. So tell us what is different about this particular strategy versus what other properties and property investors tend to do, and how do you manage to solve this problem of needing a lot more cash? Is it that the people you work with just have a lot more cash, or is it that you just pool a lot more people together, or how does it work?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really hard. It's very difficult to look at a property that we think we're going to buy. We're buying one right now, for example. It's in the town of Wooddale, Illinois, which is right near O'Hare Airport. And we're paying about $4 million for the property. If we were like everybody else, I would raise money from maybe 20 people, $50,000 each. But the problem is that for $4 million instead of $1 million, because there is no mortgage for the other $3 million, if it's $50,000 each, I have to have 80 people, which is a lot. So different people do, yes, invest more. We have investors who like to do $250,000, some who do $500,000 or even $1 million. But the vast majority are more comfortable with a $50,000 investment. So that means that in the 30 days from when I place the property under contract till the day that we close and buy it, I have to raise money from 80 people in a hurry. It's really challenging. So what do I have to have? I have to have a really big list of investors so that when I go to them and I say, hey, I'm interested in doing this new deal, it's a great opportunity. Who wants to get in? I have enough people that I can get 80, even though if I had just 80 people, maybe only 20 would go in because someone might say, hey, right now I have a liquidity problem. I don't have the cash, or I'm on vacation in Africa. I don't have time to consider it and look at it. I don't have the time to ask the questions. So I have to have a lot of people. So I'm a relationship builder, and that's how I have all these people. I have lunches and breakfasts and a lot of phone calls, and I get to know my people incredibly well. They become my friends. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm in the middle of this raise for the 4 million.
Thank
I
you.
just got off. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's please continue. You just got off.
I just got off the phone with one of them, and he said, so how you doing? I said, well, I'm about halfway there, but I don't have the last 2 million yet. And he said, are you afraid you might not get there? And my answer is no, I'm not afraid I won't get there, but I'm a little afraid I won't get there. I've got to be positive. When you're a leader, you got to be positive. There's always a chance I might not be able to raise the other 2 million in the next few weeks. So it creates a lot of anxiety. But I'll tell you why I do deals with no debt and sometimes a little bit of debt. And that's because I'm 66 years old and I've been through four down cycles. And in every down cycle, when I've had properties with more debt than what I do now, it became a problem. Especially the worst one was 2008. I had 50 properties and I had debt on all of them. And some of the tenants in 2008 struggled because of the recession. It was the Great Recession and couldn't pay rent or decided at the end of their lease to move out and find a different, smaller, less expensive place. And it was talk about anxiety. I had banks breathing down my neck. I had seven banks. And I don't know if you've heard this, but there's an old saying that the borrower is a slave to the lender. And it's true because the lender comes before anybody else. If you don't pay your mortgage, they can take it away. And we were lucky we did not lose a lot of properties to lenders in 2008. We only had 10 buildings that were in trouble of the 50, but it was difficult. See that couch behind me right there in my office? I was on the couch and I couldn't get off because my depression was so deep. I thought I had lost my 250 investors' money because things were so bad. And so what I've done is I've come around to the idea that there are people like me who are risk averse, who like to sleep well at night, who will invest in a deal where there's no debt. The downside is when there is debt and it's a big winner, because of the leverage, you make a lot more money. When there's no debt, if it's a big winner, because there's no leverage, you just make dollar for dollar profit. So if we make a 15% return on a building, it's a 15% return. But if there was leverage where you had a 50% mortgage, it would be a 30% return. So if someone put in $50,000, if there's a double return, instead of making, let's say, 7,500, they make 15,000. So to them, it's just, what am I getting on my 50,000? But it's also to them, how do I not lose my 50,000? And that's where the safety comes in with the no debt.
Thank you. Are there any other advantages that you haven't already mentioned that are correlated with doing this particular type of debt-free real estate investing?
Yeah, it's called being in a position. I don't want to use swear words, but when you're very, very wealthy, when a very rich person has something that they call FU money. I don't know if you've ever heard the term FU money.
I have.
Yeah. So what the advantage is, if we have a building that we are considering and there's no pressure from a bank, to pay them. And an offer comes in. Let's say we buy a building for $1 million and we think it's worth $1.5 million. And the tenant moves out and it's vacant. And somebody offers $1.2 million and they say, this is as high as I'm going to go. If I was in a position where the bank had money coming and every month there was this cost of the mortgage, I might sell it for the $1.2 million because I'd be nervous that we have a mortgage to pay. And how are we going to pay the mortgage with a vacant building? With no debt, we're in a position where we can just say no. So the buyer comes in and says $1.2 million. We say it's $1.5 million. And they say, wait a minute, I'm only going to pay $1.2 million. And they may think we're under pressure, but we're under no pressure because we don't owe anybody anything. So we can stand firm on our $1.5 million and maybe sell for $1.4 million instead of $1.2 million and make the investors an extra couple hundred thousand. And this is there's no price on good sleep at night. And that's the other thing. The investors and I in these all cash, no debt deals, we sleep really well at night, not being nervous about the debt coming to get us if something bad happens.
Thank you. Are there any other benefits that you haven't already mentioned related to doing this debt-free real estate investing?
We're long-term holders, and it gives us the ability to weather downturns. But also, I know that most people understand what's happened to interest rates over the past 3 years. They've doubled. What it does is it allows us to not really care what interest rates do. So when Jerome Powell from the Federal Reserve started raising rates, a bunch of my friends who own other kinds of real estate, like multifamily real estate or retail or office buildings, they were really in trouble. They were nervous. Our interest rates going up. And in our case, there's no interest rate. So if the rates go up, it's a yawn. It's like, oh, well, okay, not so bad. Yeah.
Thank you. What about current market conditions? Do you find that current market conditions influence at all your ability to kind of like get these kind of investors that want to invest in the US?
That is such a great question. The answer is yes, the market conditions are always a big issue. The biggest issue is that every time I buy a building, I feel like I'm overpaying. Every time I'm buying my 105th building, 104 other times I felt like I was overpaying. And this 105th time I do too. The first time we bought a building, I had a partner who was 10 years younger than I was, and he was in his 30s and I was in my 40s. And I said to him, are you nervous about how much we're paying for this building? He said, oh my God, we're paying so much. Because every single day, the buildings are theoretically worth more than they were the day before. So we should have bought buildings 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago, because whenever you buy something, it's at the top of the market. And the market is because industrial is really good right now. Industrial relates very much to logistics and to the internet because we have warehouses. And retail stores have not been doing very well. And the online Amazon type companies and the online divisions of retail companies are doing well. What do they need? They need a warehouse. And that's what we've got. So the market's been really frothy. Values are very high because industrial has been the favorite asset class of all possible real estate investments. I'd say the last 3 or 4 years since COVID, because during COVID, that's when deliveries to your front door took off because you couldn't go shopping. And that's when industrial buildings became so valuable. And today they're very valuable. It worries me. Is it possible that there could be a correction and the values could go down? Yeah, that worries me. Every time I buy a building and every time I look at my portfolio, we have 22 buildings and I worry about it all the time. The market is super hot.
Thank you. Tell us what kind of investors does this particular property investing opportunity Who, what kind of investors does it suit? Is it the kind of like a mafia people that come from abroad with big wads of cash? Or, of course, I'm joking there. Is it a particular client avatar that you have? Is it, I don't know, is it doctors? Is it a certain type of client avatars that you have that you find this kind of a property investing opportunity is most suited for?
Yes, let me give you a little breakdown of my 250 investors. I'm just estimating this. We've looked at it. We've got about 30 doctors. I include dentists in that number. It's surprising how many dentists we have because they want to supplement their income with cash flow so that one day when they stop fixing people's teeth, they'll have a lot of income coming in. And the passive income that the doctors earn from what we do also has some tax benefits and shields them from some taxes that they have to pay from their practice. So that's one group. We have another group of just retired people. Retired people make up the largest percentage of our investor group. There's at least 100 of them, of the 250.
Why do you think this debt-free real estate investing proposition is appealing to this kind of client avatar and perhaps not to others? What do you find is so appealing about this?
So there is a theory that a woman by the name of Gretchen Rubin has that there are different types of people who like making decisions based on their personality type and their character. So there's four different types. I recommend her strongly to anybody who wants to understand people better. But she has another thing she does called the tree versus the book. A tree, in her world, it's solid. It's in one place. You can count on it. It's stable. It's there for 100 years. Whereas a book has many chapters. There are people that are book people who want to go on to the next chapter. I do this, I move to the next thing. I do this, I move to something else. And we are a tree. We are just steady. People who are trees like other trees. They don't like jumping around from one deal to another. So we'll buy a property and keep it for 10 or 15 years, whereas somebody else might buy it a flip. We're not flippers. So the people who come in with us really like steady and they like safety. They don't want to lose any money. And that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Are there any mistakes that real estate investors tend to do when they invest, when they take a large amounts of debt? And what are those kind of mistakes that they tend to make that could put them into long-term potential trouble?
It's almost always too much debt. Almost always. Because if you, if another analogy would be an airplane. If you are on an airplane and you're taking off and it loses an engine, you're going to crash and die. If you're landing and you lose an engine, you're going to crash and die. If you're at 30,000 feet up in the air, and you lose an engine, believe it or not, a 737 or an Airbus can fly on one engine. Pilots are trained to do that. The 30,000 foot level is where you can take time without falling out of the sky and adjust and change how your trajectory is as a pilot. How you're going to use the other engine to keep it going and balance the plane. Being debt-free gives us almost the same thing as that 30,000 foot. If something goes wrong and there's no debt, we have so many ways to fix it. But if we owe a lot of money and something goes wrong, it's easy to crash. So that's the way that I look at it. And most people who invest in real estate do not understand the debt feature of the syndicator or developer that they're investing with, and they don't ask the right questions. How much debt do you have is one question, but also, what's the interest rate? What are the terms? When's it due? When do you have to pay the bank back? And those questions, I would say, when an investor talks to me, they don't ask those questions because we don't have the debt. But I know they don't always ask those questions of the other ones who do borrow money. And that's the biggest mistake. There's almost no other question that's that important other than location. You want to buy a property that's in a good location where it's easy to attract tenants. That's key.
Thank you. Do you couple this particular debt-free real estate investing with methods to keep some of that money as well? So once they actually, have extra wealth, do you have like methods in place to also help the investors keep more of their money through other methods?
No, I'm laser focused on just one thing. Again, getting back to the tree, I'm like a tree. There are lots of roots, and the roots are all in industrial property. There's 20,000 industrial buildings in the Chicago area, and I keep all of those buildings an inventory of that in a CRM system, and I know the buildings, I know the neighborhoods. I'm just really focused on this. And I tell people, if you want to invest with debt, I'm not against it. Go find someone who does debt. You can maybe make a bigger profit if you take more risk. And someone might say, "Hey Joel, what about stocks and bonds, or what about forests, investing in lumber or investing in oil wells?" And my answer is, I don't know anything about any of that. I can't help you with any of that. I know one thing, I'm pretty good at it. The other stuff, I don't know much about. And so, if someone comes to me and they want to know what a 25,000 square foot building is worth in Wooddale, Illinois, 5 miles from O'Hare Airport, I can pretty much tell them it's $150 a square foot and be accurate within a few dollars a square foot. And it's just another way, I think, of mitigating risk is to be a specialist.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Our website is Brit Properties, BRIT Properties.com. And it talks all about our philosophy of low debt or no debt investing.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.